feel so close to you right now.
Jamie and Locker with you on a Wednesday afternoon on the Green Zone. The Rough Riders injury report just got released moments ago. Sam Emelis officially ruled out for Friday's game against the Toronto Argonauts.
One game?
That'll be declared tomorrow.
Okay.
We just know now it's out.
He's not on the sixth game.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow if it's one or six.
Okay.
But he will be on the injured list tomorrow because he's out against the Argos. Looks like Joe Robustelli might be coming in for the Riders' Canadian receiver. But let's get back to last night. The Stanley Cup is back in the hands of the Panthers.
The Panthers begin to celebrate. The Florida Panthers with their second consecutive Stanley Cup.
Reed Wilkins of Edmonton Sports Talk on the Green Zone to assess all things Oilers. But what happened? Like, what happened? Really, it was game three where this series completely flipped. After that game, we were all like, what was that from the Edmonton Oilers? They look like a different team. Can you pinpoint what it was, where it went wrong for the Oilers?
Well, look, I think you got to give credit to the Panthers, and I think we started to see how good they actually are. And you're right, the last four games of the series were not close, which really surprised me that it was lopsided. Credit to the Oilers for coming back and winning. I mean, that's sometimes unusual things have to go your way to win a game. But I just think that we saw the Panthers' ferocity, I guess, and that was a lot of different ways. I mean, I'm not just talking about how rugged and aggressive they can play. We just saw how relentless they are. I mean, their forecheck is outstanding. Most teams, well, I guess everybody they played in the playoffs couldn't figure it out. The Oilers certainly couldn't figure it out. They defend extremely well. I mean, I know McDavid and Draisaitl still were both over a point a game and made some pretty spectacular plays, but they didn't have a lot of room to operate. Certainly the Oilers' depth players couldn't do anything offensively. And then you saw the value of adding a guy like Brad Marchand, who scored a couple of goals that looked almost like Mario Lemieux in 1991 against the North Stars. So, I mean, just a player who seized the opportunities and knew what to do in big moments. And then, of course, Bennett and Reinhardt, they were just a confident team with a great roster who just hit their peak in the biggest series of the year, and the Oilers didn't have an answer for it.
So as we dissect this series and where Edmonton got and what they plan on doing, is there anything we can sort of zero in on, Reed, you know, from the pundit perspective that might be considered like the top line issue for the Oilers? And is it too easy to just say goaltending?
Yes, I think it is too easy to say that. You know, it's interesting because last night on our post-game show on EST, one of my colleagues asked me, how do you compare this year to last year? And I said, it's difficult to do that, even though they played the same team and the rosters are similar. I mean, the journey to the Cup Final was different for both teams. The cadence of the Cup Final was different. I mean, last year's always going to have that 3-0 comeback. And I said, I guess the difference is going to have to be how the Oilers react to it. And they reacted to last season by basically bringing back the same team, at least in the summer. And I know they signed Jeff Skinner and Victor Arvidsson in the offseason and lost Warren Fogle, and there were some other minor things. But really, you know, they decided to bring back Connor Brown, Adam Henrique, Matthias Janmark. You know, they re-upped with some of the guys that got them to the Cup Final last year and were good in the Cup Final. I think now this year it has to be, how much do we need to change? Clearly they have to get younger, and I still think they need to get a little quicker, and I still think they need to get a little meaner, and which is weird to say because they kind of were the bullies of the Western Conference. But now we're talking about that last difficult step to win the Stanley Cup. So I think you have to look at, all right, can we trade Evander Kane? Is he worth keeping around for another year? you know, could something be done with Arvidsson's contract and then all these no moves that they have? Because I think as they got to the final, you know, there were a lot of players who did well against LA and or Vegas and or Dallas that all of a sudden you didn't notice. And obviously the goal for this team is to win the final. I mean, they're probably going to have to round out their defense with somebody better than Klingberg. We're still talking about the same thing we've been talking about for years. Leon Draisaitl does not have wingers, you know, so he winds up playing on a line with Connor McDavid. And then, yeah, the goaltending is going to be another discussion. I mean, look, Stuart Skinner was not as good as he was last year. Like, that's the basic summary for Stuart Skinner. Mm-hmm. His ceiling is still pretty high, as we saw how he played against Vegas and Dallas. But then we saw, you know, he still can be out goaltended and make some mistakes like he did last night on the third goal with that rebound he let drop down into the slot. And I think Calvin Pickard is an absolute scrapper, but then you saw in game five against Florida, you know, he didn't come up with any big saves in that game. That's going to be hard to fix. And I'm still reluctant to completely give up on Stuart Skinner at his age and his level of experience. And quite frankly, guys, I don't know if they win this series with better goaltending because Florida's so good, but I agree you're going to have to look at that. Kind of a long-winded answer. I don't even know if I answered your original question. But
I think.
I think how the Oilers react to this loss is going to have to be different than how they reacted to last year's loss.
No, that's perfect. That's a perfect answer.
But one of the bigger questions this offseason is going to be the RFA of Evan Bouchard. Evan Bouchard last year, he was, you know, everybody was putting him on the Olympic team. And then, it's kind of like Zach Hyman, right? They both had seemed like career years last year. And what are you going to do the next year after a career year? You're going to see regression. And of course, you saw it. It's naturally going to happen. And so what happens this offseason with Evan Bouchard as an RFA? Like, are they going to have to overpay him to keep him long term? Can they sign a bridge deal, so to speak, until he's a UFA? In 2 years, like, how do you handle Evan Bouchard as one of the key components of a power play that's very successful and a defensive core?
You apparently don't need a power play in the playoffs, though.
Well, when they don't call penalties, that's pointless.
Right. Well, there definitely is a playoff Bouchard and there is a regular season Bouchard. In the playoffs, you didn't often see passes up the middle to the wrong team. You didn't often see him getting pushed off the puck. I know there was that
some turnovers,
play on the first goal, but I mean Ekholm also passed it into his thighs, which isn't a great way to try to get the puck. And you know, yeah, did Bouchard look as good against Florida? No, but no Oiler did. And even some of the physical plays he made that he wouldn't make during the regular season, like you go back to Draisaitl goal in Game 2 against Vegas. That started with Evan Bouchard and Mark Stone racing for the puck along the wall in the neutral zone. And I remember watching that game live and thinking, like, well, Evan's not getting this one because Mark Stone's going to do his miserable work and take the puck away from him. And Bouchard shouldered him into the boards, wrapped the puck around to Corey Perry, and he flicked it to McDavid, who got it to Draisaitl for the game-winning goal. So he is a different player in the postseason. That's probably who they're going to pay, you know. So, yeah, I could see him getting, like, those numbers that are being thrown out there, $10, $11 million per season. Maybe it would be a shorter deal. I don't know, but I think, you know, look, offensive players still usually get paid because GMs are still terrified of letting an offensive player walk and not getting a replacement. And then it'll be like, whoa, no, we don't score. Why didn't you just lock up the guy who got guaranteed points? So I think he'll get a lot of money. I guess the term of the deal is going to be the question mark, but I think he's going to be an Oiler.
More with Reed Wilkins coming up. I do want to challenge Reed on what he just said about keeping Evan Bouchard. Is he one of those players, like the Panthers moved on from Jonathan Huberdeau, that you move on from to get grittier like the Florida Panthers? That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. We're going to spend a little bit more time with Reed Wilkins as we were talking about Evan Bouchard, but I'm going to challenge you, Reed, on the Bouch thing, because isn't he one of those players like Jonathan Huberdeau was for the Florida Panthers? They win the President's Trophy, then they go out in the first round, they go, well, what do we do? They got rid of a softer guy and brought in harder-nosed players. Isn't Evan Bouchard one of those moves where you have to look harder at and make maybe what could be a tough decision.
Well, I agree with that, but there's still a value to having the production that Bouchard gives you and that shot on the power play. So if you didn't sign Bouchard, so if you want to say don't give Bouchard $12 million, give to Matthias Ekholm $6 million, that's fine.
Still have to find them.
But you got to, yeah, but Ekholm is still kind of an elite player in his own way. So, like, he doesn't grow trees either, right? So I think that, yes, they're going to have to bulk up, and yes, they're going to have to still become a bit of a more miserable team. But I think they're going to have to do that lower in the lineup. You know, like, I think they're going to have to replace John Klingberg with a beefier style of player. I think that, they're going to have to replace Jeff Skinner with a beefier style of player. I don't think that the Bouchard money will prevent them from doing that, because I think they can get those types of players. You know, if you want to look at the Gadjeviks and Greers of the world, I don't know what they're making for Florida. It can't be very much. So I don't know if the Bouchard deal prevents them from bulking up. The Bouchard deal might prevent them from getting Leon a good winger. That would be more of a concern for me.
Last year, McDavid was emotional at the end of Game 7 when they lost the Cup to Florida. This year, he was mad. Are you taking mad McDavid over emotional McDavid?
Oh, I don't know. I try not to judge too much on what guys say in the moments after a loss. Because I think they are pretty emotional. They're probably sad. They're probably mad. They're probably disappointed. They're probably feeling incomplete. And I don't know if their thoughts are always completely organized. I actually sensed for McDavid almost like an admission that they just were not good enough. Like, you know, he said that their forecheck was so good. He said, we kept trying to do the same thing to get the puck into the zone, and it was like banging our heads against the wall. Which I think is an unintentional criticism of his coach. I don't think he meant it that way, but I do think we can look into that. I just think you hope that it's just another learning experience for the Oilers. Like wherever they get their motivation, you know, some guys react by being mad. Some guys react by being quiet. There's that shot of McDavid crying pretty intensely after losing Game 7. I think just as this series went on, whether they wanted to admit it or not, they knew they weren't close. Like they knew they were getting rolled. So I don't know what McDavid's emotional state is going to mean for next year. I don't know if it's going to change him as a person. I think they just want to come back and try to do it all again.
In 365 days from today, are we having another postmortem on the Edmonton Oilers? And I'm not going to say win or lose the Stanley Cup. And I'm not going to do that. But is this team still set up to be back there? Because another thing I've seen is, oh, the window's about to close on the Oilers. And I'm like, come on. With Leon and McDavid in their late 20s? Please, the window's nowhere close to shut.
No. Well, look how Corey Perry is playing. And I know this player, I don't think he won a cup. No, Pavelski never won a cup. Look at Pavelski's stats until he was 38. Yeah. And he was never even on the level of some of these other guys. I guess depending on the offseason moves, but if you look at how they went through the playoffs, I think you still have to favor the Oilers in the West, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, let's just look. Okay, disappointing Stanley Cup final, obviously. But let's look at what happened. They beat the team that was built specifically to beat the Oilers. And once they got rolling, they beat them four games in a row against L.A. They beat the big, bad, miserable you-know-whats, as I call them, the Vegas Golden Knights. It was tense, but they were fine. And then after the first game against Dallas, well, even most of the first game against Dallas, they pretty much...
They steamrolled Dallas.
Humiliated the Dallas Stars. You know, so I know Winnipeg's good. Other teams are going to work to get better, but I think you still would have to list the Oilers as the big boy in the Western Conference.